Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello everyone and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for September 8th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is JT. How you doing, JT?
Hey, what's up, man? I am great. Yesterday was quite the day, and I have some stuff to say.
quite the day, indeed. Yes, I feel like I've been saying that every morning this week, yes. But... here we are again with another one. So let's get into it. We are here to talk about everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. It was day 34 in the house and a lot going down between veto ceremony, whether or not the veto is going to be used, and then you know, some drama later in the day. There's a lot to talk about here, JT.
Yeah, it was so gotta be honest, at the when it was time for them, when the feeds went down for the party, I was like, oh well, today was wah wah wah, like it was just like a total throwaway day. But then when the feeds came back up, I was like, this is what I'm talking about. This is going to give me some good content for tomorrow, baby. I was ready. And the house guest did not disappoint.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we should be live here on YouTube, but I think we're having a little bit of trouble, but we're not sure where this is going.
Yes, I'm trying to share links now, and for some reason your tweet was not letting me copy the link.
Yeah, there's been some trouble here. Oh boy.
These things happen.
Oh, we're alive somewhere. Okay, here we are.
Yeah, there we go. There. Okay, cool. People, now I can see that people are actually talking in the chat.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
Oh, boy. Oh,
there's man. Our people.
Yeah, sorry about that, especially to the listeners that are...
that are going to listen to this later today or tomorrow and be like, what are they talking about?
Yeah. All right. Anyway. What a day we have. We started the day, obviously, we had to check to see whether or not Tyler is going to be leaving this week. Is Christmas going to put him on the block? One of the first things we saw in the day was that Bailey went to Tyler and said, look, Tyler, I don't think Christmas is going to do this. I think that she's probably worried that I'm not going to be on her side after she put me up, and that that I'm not going to come after her. And so I feel like she's probably not going to do it. But I appreciate the gesture, and I want you to know that you've got permission to vote me out over Day.
Yes. So... the thing about this conversation is there are like people on Twitter that were like, Bailey, stop, like, stop doing this. But what people have to like remember is that when you are on the block and you are put on the block next to an ally and you feel like it's your fault that they're on the block next to you, and you're in Bailey's situation where, number one, you didn't really want to come on the show in the first place. Number two, your husband really wants you to come home. And number three, you have accomplished your goal for why you did decide to come. Like, you're like, okay, it's fine. Like, she deserves to be here more than I do. Like, it's okay. You can, like, everyone can vote me out. And then we get into that deep conversation that about the rules and how lovely Grodner and the production staff love to bring up the rules when it best suits them. But that's a different conversation, which I'm sure we'll get into later on in the day.
Yes. Well, Tyler talks to Cody and Enzo, and he lets them know that he tried to quit yesterday. And then the feed's cut. And then Danny and Cody have a conversation where she's talking about wanting to leave because jury is about to start. And this is the last opportunity for her to go and be with her child that she is missing. And she's feeling like she shouldn't have done this. Doesn't really want to be here. She also talks about how she feels like Tyler was trying to get her evicted, and she asked Christmas about it, and Christmas lied to her face because there's no way that that 2.5 hour deep conversation was nothing. And Cody says, no. He was trying to quit. He was trying to get himself evicted. Allison Grodner had to come and show up and talk him down.
Yeah. I'm still like trying to wrap my head around everything that happened, because I thought it was going to be like a nice, smooth, easy day. And that's not what happened. I feel like you guys are going to hear my dissent for Christmas later on in the day, but I'm going to give her the one compliment of the podcast. And that is her, in my opinion, from what I saw, I think that she flipped Tyler to get him to not just say, hey, I'm not going to use it. If you want to go out, either get somebody else to put you up or walk out the door. But to also say, yo, you deserve to be here. You need to be here. We need you here. Angela has you forever. Like, spend the next 60 days with me and we'll be okay. And like talking him and like getting his head like back in the game. She did a good job with like really making sure that he was still here, not just gonna just wait until the next HOH came, but like to really like be here for the long haul. I think she did a very good job.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's what happened, or at least part of it. but it's hard to know because the feeds were cut for all of their conversations, which I think that they were. I think that production side of this was, we're going to cut these feeds to protect ourselves from this situation. And I think it really, or maybe they thought they were protecting Tyler. I think it's worse for Tyler that we did not see these conversations, because from our perspective, Tyler went in being like, I want to quit, and came out like, I'm staying, which like looks real sketch. Even though I do think it was probably like, you know, hours and hours of berating from Grodner and Christmas to get him to that point. And the fact that we didn't see it only looks all the worse for Tyler, which, you know, to be honest, I feel like he deserves. Christmas talks today. She says, look, I feel like I'm being pulled into something that has nothing to do with me. Like, I'm just trying to figure out if this is what's best for me, which it's not. Like, to be clear here, it is incredibly unfair to put this burden in Christmas's lap to evict her closest ally. Like, of course, she has every right to be like, I don't want to evict my own ally on my own HOH that I won the veto for, that like that. This is a fair argument that like, look, Tyler, if you want to leave, you can leave, but don't make me screw up my own stuff.
Right. I do 100% agree with that Christmas, that as far as like the game goes, if you take everything else that we know is coming later on in the day, if you take all of that out of it, Christmas is making a very valid point. Like, this is your vendetta to settle. I put the two of you on the block for so-and-so reasons, which we'll get into later in the day. And I don't want to put my ally up. And I feel like this is a missed opportunity for Bay and Day. I'm saying it's a missed opportunity because I know things that they don't know as house guests, as far as the whole Danny situation goes. If they had more information when it comes to Tyler, I feel like they could have, that Devon and Bailey are smart enough players to be able to have been able to twist this and be like, well, clearly she's not going to put Tyler up. They had a whole 24 hours, more, a little more than 24 hours to figure this out. But if they would have thought, hey, well, clearly we're not going to get Tyler up, but there is a way that both of us can stay, and that's to get Danny up. But they would have to have get Tyler out of that mindset sooner than he was out of that mindset, because they need Tyler in game mode in order for that to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I wonder what would have happened if, when Tyler approached Day and Bay about putting himself up, them saying like, okay, If this is really your motivation to help us, then put your money where your mouth is and let's go to Christmas and try to get her to put somebody else up. And let's try and make that move, and that we can all work together and get somebody else out of the house. And you can help. You can work with us to get to the end, because I don't know. I don't know if it would have worked, but it kind of puts Tyler in a spot, right?
Yeah, it's definitely it's a Hail Mary move, but like you said, if your reason for doing this is what you say it is, then this is what we think is going to be best for your reasoning to be valid. Then this is what you should do. This is how you can help us.
Yeah, I think part of this too. Now, this is kind of, I think, an unfortunate miscommunication, because it's leaving Bay and Day in the dark a little bit, that when Tyler went to Bay and Day the day before the day that we're talking about, to say that he was going to get himself put up on the block, he was saying that, you know, he was doing this because he wants them to get further, and that everything that he said about Danny was the truth. And he said, now, I'm not guilt. I'm not completely innocent in this situation, which is true. Like, this is exactly what it is, that Danny and Nicole were coming for Day and Bay before Tyler did anything. And Tyler just let Day and Bay know. Now, that doesn't mean that Tyler is completely innocent, because he also did say some things about Bailey those things were not the reason Bailey was targeted by Danny and Nicole. But he did say some things. So he's essentially saying, like, Danny was coming for you. I had nothing to do with that. Or at least I was telling the truth about that, but I am not innocent in this situation. And I think part of it too, is that Tyler wasn't sure. Tyler thought he might be a little bit responsible for Danny and Nicole coming after Dan Bay without realizing that they had been after them long before any of this happened. And so what Dan Bay get out of this conversation is, okay, so Tyler is the reason we're in this spot. They feel like, okay, Tyler wasn't lying about Danny, but he's the reason Danny was coming after us in the first place, that he was trying to self-sabotage and he was just pitting people against each other. And he's the one that got us here. And that is leading them to not realize that Danny and Nicole were actually after them long before this, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So I feel like Dan Bay, I can't blame Dan Bay for grabbing this horse by the reins and taking the hand that was dealt to them and running with it. I just wish that they would have asked for to be dealt a different hand. Like, I feel like they played this out the best way that they could with the information that they had. I just don't when we are on these podcasts, like, all we can think about is like the what ifs, because we know things that they don't know, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, yes. Well, basically, the ultimate point here is that that Bay and Day took from that conversation that, OK, Tyler admitted that he's the reason that we're in this spot to begin with. And because of that, they really feel like they can trust Nicole and Danny, because they feel like Nicole and Danny were tricked into coming after them. So that's kind of the takeaway that they got from that situation. And they felt like the reason Tyler was doing this was because he felt guilty for targeting them in the first place, which is unfortunately a bit of a misread on the situation. I think this might eventually get cleared up if they talk to Tyler a little bit more. But Tyler's like back in game mode, so it may not happen. But anyway, Day goes to Tyler and she says, hey, are you sure this is what you want to do? Are you sure about this? And he says, yes, I'm not taking it back. I've done everything that I can short of, you know, straight up just throwing in the towel, which, you know, I can't do. And she's like, I know you can't do that. And so at this point, we're like, okay, he's saying he's done everything he can. It's clear he's gotten some pushback, both from production, from Christmas, and ultimately, it seems this decision is going to come down to Christmas, who at this time is seeming like she doesn't want to do it. So it's at this point that I'm like, okay, I'm feeling like this isn't going to happen. Right. Tyler goes to Christmas. The feeds get blocked again. We do not see this conversation again. And at the end of the conversation, we see that Christmas is saying that, hey, Tyler, you made a commitment to be here. I'm not going to be backdooring anyone on my HOH. Angela can get you, you know, in a few months. And that's what's going down. And he's like, okay. And she tells him that he should not tell anybody what the plan is. They talk about like, what should we say? And she tells him to just be like, I say that I didn't. Christmas loves this rule. I'm not allowed to say what I'm going to do. I'm not allowed to say. So tell them that I didn't tell you. And he's like, okay. And then she proceeds to tell him about the All Women's Alliance that was created the night before. And a few other things now we're going to get back into the swing of things here, Tyler. Sure. Here's some information.
Yeah. I think, Christmas, like I said, you have to give her props. She really made sure that not only was Tyler okay with it doesn't matter if he was okay with it. She wasn't going to use it, but not, but, you know, console him to let him know, I'm not going to use it. You're staying in this game. Now that that's settled, let's make sure that you're back in game mode. And that's when she proceeds to tell him about the All Girls Alliance. They make their plan for what they're going to say going forward. You know, she did a really good job here with saving her secret ally in this game. That is not going to be a secret going forward, but we'll talk about that.
Yes. So I will give you my perspective just here, on this Tyler situation. I fully believe, and I said this from the start, that he wanted to quit. We've seen that from him all season long, that he hasn't wanted to be here, that he didn't want to be here in the first place. He declined the invitation in the first place. I think that he genuinely wanted to quit. I think that he also took an opportunity to say, to like maybe win some points for his quit with some other situations, to bring up that he's doing it for Bailey and Devon, to say that he doesn't want, that he wants to support their cause. He wants to help them get to the end. That, and we talked about this yesterday before he reneged on it, that is, in my opinion, where he goes wrong. Like, you can quit the game, and on a game level, I won't respect you as a player, but you're just quitting the game. You're just quitting the game. Now, I don't doubt that he, on some level, supports Day and Bay and would like to see them succeed, but you can't just make an empty gesture and get people's hopes up when that's not your true motivation, right? Go ahead.
Oh, so here's my thing. And so there's a conversation that happens right before the fees cut for the POV meeting between Bailey, Devon, and Kevin in the love room. And they're trying to explain to Kevin the whole Tyler situation and all this stuff. And Devon makes it very clear that she said that she didn't believe a damn thing Tyler said. She thought it was all bull crap, that he was blowing smoke up their butts, until he said that line that he was doing it for the movement, the Black Girl Magic, the Black Lives Matter, the whole black, fill in the other two blanks, you want.
So just to quickly interject here, because there's been a lot of discussion on, did Tyler actually, you know, bring up Black Lives Matter? He did not say those words, but he referenced the cause, the movement, mm-hmm. what they stand for, and that mm-hmm. is what they stand for. So he definitely implied it.
Yeah. So she clearly said that is when she was like, there's no way that this can be fake. Because once you say that, once you imply that, if it is fake, if that is game, then you are sick, twisted MF-er. And she was like, that's crazy to me. And I think that once you say that, you gotta start packing, because you have to leave. Like, once you say you have no choice. You got to go. Like, when you know that not only are there live feed, like, it's not like this is like Survivor where you can, you know, just hope that the producers cut it out of the edit. No. Hundreds of millions of thousands of trillions, billions, quadrillions, quadrillion people saw you say.
Quadrillions.
Yeah. Saw you say that. So, like, you need to, you better start packing now, because either you're getting voted out or you're walking out the door, but you got to leave to make sure that they both stay after saying that. And I think that he screwed up. Like, he screwed up by not making sure that he's leaving because of it.
Yes. And this is the problem with trying to attach this extra motivation to an action that he was already doing in the first place. Because, again, to be clear, because this gets a little jumbled here, I fully believe that in that moment, Tyler was being genuine about his desire to quit. I think that he also felt in that moment that it was an opportunity to also support, you know, Bay and Day. I think he was genuine in his desire to support them, but that was not the primary reason for him wanting to quit. And he was acting like it was. And so when his primary motivation for wanting to quit gets talked down by Alison Grodner and Christmas, that secondary motivation should still be like, if that was the real motivation, then the other stuff wouldn't have changed his mind. But because he brought that other stuff up and it wasn't the real motivation, now that's going away. And that's what looks really bad. And that's why he shouldn't have ever brought it into it in the first place.
And I feel like I want to make this very clear that this is an assumption. In my heart of hearts, I feel like his alliance with David is somehow playing a part in this whole thing. David is not, we have watched Tyler play this game. David is not the type of player that Tyler would align himself with, especially not semi-publicly, because there's people that clearly know that Tyler and David are working together. Working together, I put that in quotes. And I don't know, like, and besides, I'm very proud of David for keeping his mouth shut about this power. But besides that, David is not the greatest BB player. He's not the greatest strategist. He's subpar, below average as a player. And Tyler knows that and sees that. And that's not the type of player that he would align himself with. So I don't know if this is game or if he's just like, well, let me be the savior of the POC group in the house because it's 2020 and there's coronavirus and Black Lives Matter going on. And I need to make sure that, you know, if I don't win, because there's legends in here with me, that I, you know, can be known for something, or I don't know what the motivation is. I've always been a Tyler fan, but I don't think this is a good look whatsoever.
Yes. I completely agree with that. It just, again, you know, you should not invoke, you know, a support of the cause to say that you are supporting other people, like Day and Bay, because that matters to you. If it's not the main thing, if it's not the real part of that, right? So, and then on top of that, like, his behavior afterwards is not. Again, because I think that he was genuine in that moment, but then afterwards, when he is essentially allowing it to be taken back, he is not going back to them and explaining and apologizing and or anything like that. He is fully back in game mode, and he is he's essentially stonewalling them again. Christmas telling him, "Don't tell them anything." Tyler is going to go to Bailey, and she's asking him for advice on like what she should do with her speech. And he's giving her to like, well, I wouldn't name me specifically. And you know, like you shouldn't be doing this stuff. Like this is what you should say, because he's saying that, oh yeah, Christmas didn't tell me. I don't know what she's going to do. This is when he talks about like the rules of like, not allowing, you know, not being allowed to say that you want to be evicted. Like, this has gone around too. That again, I fully believe that Tyler was chastised, that he was threatened, that like, no, you'd better not do this. I fully believe the production, like ask Eric Stein, you know, what it's like to try and go against production's wishes on a technicality. they will get you. So I fully believe that he was berated into, again, not wanting to quit. But he is not doing any kind of like, you know, again, for somebody that brought up that he really wanted to support their cause, he has fully forgotten that part of it. And he is now acting like it was just a quit. He never mentioned that. And he has no responsibility to sort of like have any kind of, you know, apology or anything like that. He hasn't apologized in the right way, I should say.
Right. Yeah. And this goes, you know, back to what we were saying, that like, if that was your true intent, then you, when you realize that she didn't want you out and that she wouldn't put you up, like, you would have done what you needed to do to get somebody on the block. Even if in the end, Bailey still goes home, at least to Devon, who could be a good ally for you, because after this week, she doesn't know what she's going to do, which we'll talk about later. But you could have done something to get somebody else on that block.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit because this is still relevant. I do want to say that that Tyler has a conversation with David a little bit later where he explains his side of the story, I guess. And I don't know how much of this is true because he's talking to another player in the game at this point and stuff. But Tyler tells the story to David. He says that he felt guilty that it might have been his fault that Bay and Day were on the block because he told them, he warned them that Danny was coming for them as a kind of way of self-sabotaging, like, they're probably going to betray me and out me, and then I'll be in trouble and I'll get sent home. And if it works, then great. And if it doesn't, then I'll be sent home. And he felt like because he gave them the heads up that that Danny, they acted differently around Danny, and then Danny found out, and that's why Danny came for them, and that's why Christmas is coming for them. And so in a way, this is all his fault and his version of self-sabotaging. And this is something that, like, you know, people who are very down on themselves can often sort of get in this perspective of like, everything is their fault. Everything is like on them. Everything is, you know, in their own world. So because of that, he felt like, okay, this is, you know, I'm going to quit the game. I didn't want to be here at all. I've been self-sabotaging. I'm going to fix my own mistake. I'm going to fix my own error in the damage that I caused. I'm going to fix it by leaving and letting Bay stay in the game. Then he went to Christmas, and Christmas told him, hold on, why are you sacrificing your game for Bailey? It is not your fault that she's being targeted. We've been targeting her for a long time, Nicole and Danny and I. Second, she threw you under the bus this week, unprompted. Third, this is something that she hadn't told him yet. Kacer let me know that he was talking to Bailey last week before any of this happened, and she was telling him that she was down to put you on the block and backdoor Cody, and that, like, that's what was going down. And so Tyler says to David, like, I am, you know, I found out that she had betrayed me. I thought that I gave her that information and she didn't go anywhere with it and that she wasn't coming for me. And come to find out that she had been talking about putting me on the block last week and she threw me under the bus this week. And so because of that, I think in his mind, he is now sort of like, I no longer hold a responsibility to you know, apologize to her for this because I thought that I thought this was my fault and it wasn't. Right. I thought that Bay was loyal to me and she wasn't. And so I think he's like, okay, hands off. And that would be Tyler's perspective according to what he says to David, which again, that's David. That's what he's saying to David, which again, he's back in the game and has a reason to lie at this point. But when Tyler comes out of the house, if I'm going to guess what his story is, I'm going to guess that it's exactly what I just said.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think that but for the majority of things that Tyler tells David, it's pretty much true. I do feel like that Tyler knows that David is latching on to him. as someone that can get him further into the game. So when I was watching that conversation, I was totally, it didn't cross my mind that he was lying at all. Like, I totally believed that entire conversation.
Yes. Rob says, I'm going to guess Tyler's not going to say anything about this ever. That's very likely as well, Rob. But if we're trying to like figure out where Tyler's motive, I do believe that Christmas probably said something to him that made him feel betrayed by Bailey. And that's probably why he felt justified in being like, okay, well, reneging on the offer, and I don't owe you anything at this point. That would be my guess. Now, that does not mean that he actually was justified, but I think that's his story, and I think it's probably true in his mind. So back to this, back to the proper chronology.
I think is right. Yeah.
So Tyler also talks to Danny now that his head is back in the game. He knows that he needs to talk to Danny and try to clear the air a little bit. He says that he was self-sabotaging, and he apologizes for what went down, that he was trying to essentially get himself evicted, and he would love to reset from this point. We didn't really get a lot of this conversation. It felt very stilted, and there wasn't much information exchanged from what we saw, but the feeds cut for the veto ceremony. I don't know how much longer it went on from this point, but they did have a conversation, and later in the day, Danny is talking to Nicole, and she does seem a little bit chilled on the let's target Tyler immediately situation. It seemed like she was saying, we don't need to go after him quite yet.
Yeah, right. Something I did notice about this conversation is that Danny did something that I really liked, where she was like, she approached the situation as if they had never had any beef. Which I think is smart to do in the Big Brother house is when you start the conversation off as we don't have any problems like this. Let's just talk about us. Let me tell you how much I like you, how much I respect you, how much I'm not coming after you. And let's not talk about any past things that have happened before. And it seemed like Tyler was very receptive to that. You've seen when people come and be like, hey, I want to talk to you about this situation. I want to talk to you about this specific beef. And I think in the Big Brother house, when you're confined with these people for so long and all that's there to do is to fester in your beef with people, I think that it's a good and a smart move when you approach someone to talk to them in a private conversation and just be very chill about it and let the, you know, whatever the situation is come up, you know, naturally in the conversation. And when people tend to do that, then it tends to be a more civil conversation and doesn't lead to an argument. So props to Danny for doing that.
Mm-hmm. So feeds go down for the veto ceremony. Christmas chooses not to use the power of veto. After the ceremony, the feeds come back. Christmas is talking to Devon. She says, look, I just can't trust that Bay is not going to come for me. It just is not my responsibility to get Tyler out of here. If she wants Tyler gone, she can do it herself. That is the explanation here. Bay talks to David and she tells him, I would rather look gullible than angry, which is, I think, true and sad at the same time.
Yeah.
She explains also that Tyler is the reason that all of this happened, that that he has been trying to get her out for a while now. He admitted to it. Again, this is the misunderstanding that happened that I was referring to earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
That she feels like he admitted to trying to get her out of the game for weeks now, that it was his fault that she was in this position, and that he was offering himself up to be evicted because he felt guilty about it, and that it didn't happen because Christmas wouldn't let it happen.
Yeah, and I just want to, okay, so the rest of this day is going to be like the angry part of JT coming out. I'm not going to yell and scream, but it's going to come on. I just want to preface the rest of this podcast by saying that it is, I 100% agree that it is not Christmas's responsibility to take Tyler out because Bay and Day want her to. But I will say that it's not, regardless of whether Tyler was talked out of it by production or whether Christmas talked him out of it or whether he changed his mind or whether he realized it just wasn't good and he has a chance to win the game, whatever the situation is, when Christmas realized she wasn't going to use it 4 hours before the POV meeting and she kept leading Bay and Day on for 4 hours up until the POV meeting, knowing that she was not right, knowing that she wasn't going to use it, and let them put all that time, energy, effort, passion, strategy, social, like they just put their entire lives into those 4 hours prior to the veto meeting, and she knew she wasn't going to use it, and she didn't tell one of them, is not good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my favorite thing ever. It's very bad. It's very bad gameplay because she's, to quote Bailey, now on the top of whoever stays naughty list. So it's just was bad gameplay. And now when it comes down to the Slick Six or whatever stupid name they have to turn on each other, like no one is going to believe anything she says regarding HOHs and vetoes now because she doesn't tell people what she's going to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that on a game level, not telling. I don't think that other people are going to be suspicious of her not telling Bay and Day that she's not using the veto necessarily. But she is unnecessarily souring Bay and Day by obviously leading them on. And I think that there are other events that will happen later in the night that will sour other people.
Yes.
to Christmas.
Yeah, this is gonna be. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Oh boy. Well, Bailey talks to Ian, and he lets her know that he likes percentages. He's about 60-40, leaning toward keeping Dave on. That he, unfortunately, this isn't fair to Bailey, but he just has a better relationship with Devon outside of the house. He knows her. He doesn't really know Bay. She tells him that, well, just as a heads up, Christmas named you as her untouchable. And Ian is like, a little bit later, he's like, I just have a question. Can I ask you a question? Sure. Shoot. What is an untouchable? Like, what does that mean? She's like, well, it's somebody that you would never touch, that you would never put on the block, or send home or vote against or anything like that. Like, that is your person. He's like all the way to the end. Like even in like final three, you still wouldn't touch. Yeah. Yeah. All the way. You never touch them. It's like, so it's a final two. That. Well, yeah.
Oh gosh. This conversation was super fun to watch because you could tell that he was like trying to get her to say it's a final two. And she was just like, finding every way not to be like, it's your final two. And when the feeds came up and they're talking about untouchables, like we didn't know what the hell they were talking about. Like, we're just like, cause we weren't able to see that conversation. And then, she's like, he's like, so it's a final two. And she was like, oh yeah. And just like, kind of like,
and he was like, and cause can you have more than one untouchable? She's like, no. It's like,
so it's clearly a final two, dude. Yeah.
And he's gonna continue to talk about that. He really doesn't like this term. I agree. Enzo's gonna make fun of this term later. I'm so happy that I brought this up the other day and now they're in the house and they're totally on board with me. And I'm like, thank you. Cause this untouchable thing is just weird.
That's funny.
I keep that is, just that picturing is cool. Uncrustables.
Peanut butter and jelly. You're the peanut butter to my jelly. You're my Uncrustable.
you're my Uncrustable. I love you just as much as I love Uncrustables.
Oh my goodness.
All right. So Bay also talks to Kevin. She tells him about the Tyler stuff. Again, says this is all Tyler's fault, that he's been doing this to me for a long time. She tells him that he tried to self-evict because he felt so guilty. And Kevin says, oh, I don't believe that. I don't believe that he was ever going to want to quit. So Kevin thinks that this is all this has all been a Machiavellian scheme, which is, again, I fully believe is not the case. I saw some people think like, oh, this is Tyler's funeral. If this was a game move, which I fully believe it was not, it's a terrible one. It doesn't do anything for Tyler. Yeah.
It makes him look really bad. And can I just say about the Kevin conversations, something I've realized is Kevin is like the most, I don't even know if cynical is the right word, but Kevin is the conspiracy theory person of the season. Like everything you say, like, I don't believe anything anyone says, like, you need to prove it to me and I need it in writing and I need physical, verbal, mental and sight proof. Like, I don't believe anything anyone says ever. I kind of dig it because, you know, when you're playing Big Brother, you believe none of what you hear and only half of what you see.
Kevin's all over the place.
Yeah, he really does not believe anything ever.
I liked that he was having a conversation with Danny. It might have been yesterday, might have been the day before. They were talking about like Danny was talking about how it's not fair that Bay and Day are complaining that they get paired together because, you know, like Day said to her on day one, like, Bay's my untouchable, and that they're always hanging out together. They're tight. That's another term. Tight. And Kevin says, I see that, but I try to, I put my empathy hat on. And I can see where they're coming from. Right. I can see why they might be upset about it. And he's trying to explain, but I just loved this term empathy hat. Empathy. if I put my empathy hat on.
Yeah. So, speaking of the scene as a peer conversation that Danny had. So, I wanted to like yell at the feeds and like scream at her and be like, you're not understanding. Like, okay, we get it. People come in and there are certain people that are paired up, that are grouped up, that, you know, are just seen as a pair. Even if as game players, they don't see themselves as a pair. If Kayser and Janelle came into the game and decided based on this cast, it's not in our best interest to work together. Regardless of that, they are still going to be seen as Kayser and Janelle. With Day and Bay coming into the house as the sole two black girls who have a prior relationship via Twitter, via Swaggy, via the community or whatever, they are seen as a pair from the house. During the game, people have become pairs throughout the game, but Cody and Memphis have become a pair. Nick and Danny have become a pair. It's not the point of them being pairs. It's the point that Christmas decided to target this specific pair for, to be honest with you, I've been watching the feeds and I still don't know why they're on the block. You know what I'm saying? Like, my point is, It's not about who's on the block. It's about why they're on the block.
Yes. Well, I can tell you the reason they're on the block is a couple tries, a couple guys. that's what it stems back to. Which really, I mean, that's the funny thing it stems back to. The real thing it stems back to is night one, Nicole and Danny having a conversation about Day and Bay being an inseparable duo and Bailey being problematic and waiting for her to blow up. Right. That's what it really comes down to. And then a couple tries, couple guys was the thing that set off those those trip wires, right?
Yeah.
So,
and it's just, it's annoying and it's frustrating. And like, and just that added on to these comments we'll get to later about how, you know, Christmas says the only people that she would be afraid of winning HOH are Day or Bay, whichever one stays, and then Kevin or David. Or the fact that when Cody, Tyler, and Memphis are outside in the backyard after the barbecue are talking and about who they would put up, they only say Kevin, David, and then Day or Bay, whichever one stays. And it just, does something ring a bell there? What do all those people have in common? They don't freaking look like you. And it's really bothering me because I get it. Okay. Sometimes they're just not good for your game. And in the beginning of the game, you might got to put them up and get them out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But this has like been a consistent thing over and over and over and over again from multiple house guests, these microaggressions, these like groupings of them all together. Like it's, I'm going to digress. Go ahead, Taryn.
All right. Well, Tyler and David have their conversation. Like I said, David is upset with Tyler because he feels like David is feeling a little bit of responsibility. Because again, David now thinks that what Bay is saying is real, that Tyler has been gunning for Bay this whole time. And David is feeling some responsibility for that because he's been trying to get them to work together. And so he feels like he kind of screwed Bay over by vouching for Tyler when Tyler was gunning for Bay this whole time, which isn't actually what happened, but it's what Bay thinks happened. And now it's what David thinks happened. And so you can tell that he is like not pleased with Tyler. And Tyler is trying to explain his side of the story, which I already explained. And he says at the end of it that like, and now I'm stuck here till the end anyway, because of jury. So my head is going to be fully in the game and I can reset. So I think David is still, I think David still believes Bay. I think David thinks that Tyler is lying to him and that he was gunning for Bay the whole time. That's my read on David. David is then going to make the reason I have that read, make it clear that he doesn't trust Tyler at all. He's like, Tyler, I know you have a power. Tell me about it. And Tyler's like, I wish that I had a power. That'd be great. David is like, Tyler, don't lie to me. I know you have power. Tyler's like, yeah. I really don't. I really don't. David's like, why am I here? Tyler. Tyler's like, to do well, to prove yourself. It's like, no. I'm here because I knew what was going on in my season. I know what's going on right now. I know these things, Tyler. I can see them. I can read them. I know you have a power. Please just don't use it against me.
Yeah.
If anything, use it to help me. Tyler's like, okay, I'll use my imaginary power to help. What do you mean? We use it against you? What are you talking about, dude? We're working together. I swear to you, I do not have... Listen, David, I swear on Ovi, I do not have a power. And David's like, that's not fair. Don't do that. That's do not take Ovi's name in vain, sir. That is serious. That is heavy.
Yeah, that was a very comical conversation to watch. Like, because the more that David accused Tyler of having a power, the more Tyler was like feeding into it. So like, so that if he did have a power, his hole would have been dug so deep. And the whole time, David's the one with the power. So it was very entertaining to watch. And this just goes to show how of a comedic player David is. That if he's nothing, he's good feeds.
Yeah.
I just
loved this idea that like swearing on Ovi is like the ultimate don't you lie on Ovi. David says that he's talking about targets. David wants to strike at the trio that's running the house: Cody, Danny, Nicole, Tyler agrees. He says that's a great idea. David asks Tyler, who would you put up on the block if you won? Tyler says Danny and Nicole, because I mean, especially after everything that just happened, they're going to be gunning for me. I'm gunning for them. I saw a lot of people like, oh, he's lying. I don't think he's lying. Personally, yeah. This Danny has been his target for a while now. Like, I don't know why he would be. And he talked with Enzo about targeting Nicole too. These were, I think, his noms for this week, if he had won. So I very, very fully believe that this is what Tyler will do if he wins. Who else would he target? Like Ian and Kevin? I guess that would be the sort of backing down move. I guess it's possible, but I believe that he would go after Danny and Nicole. It's what makes sense for his game too.
Yeah, I feel like this would be regardless of who goes home, I want the other one to win HOH. But if they don't, then my next best option would be Tyler or Kevin, because I think he'd be a psychopath with the noms. I think he'd be a psychopath when it comes to the noms, which I love. But I think that Tyler winning the next HOH would, and putting up Danny Nicole, would really force some people to play Big Brother and not Big Best Friend.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep moving through this day, because we've still got a lot to go through.
Yeah, we're not even at 3 o'clock yet.
I know. Bay, Day, and Kevin have a conversation. Day is upset that Tyler invoked the cause during their conversation, and then it didn't happen. And again, I've seen some people saying Tyler did not say the cause, but he did say that he knows they're here for a greater reason. He said that they're standing for something greater than him, and that he wants to help them play that out. So again, there's an implication there that I think you can say that, technically he didn't say these exact words, but there's definitely an implication there, in my opinion.
Right. I agree.
Bay says she does not think that was game. She thinks that he genuinely wanted to leave, and that wasn't part of the game. Kevin, though, says, no, I think it is game again. And Day says, well, no, I mean, Tyler's been trying to leave the game for a while now.
Right.
And Kevin doesn't believe that either. He thinks it's all game. So he's been pretending to not want to be here, which for someone like Kevin, who's got no relationship with Tyler, probably sees Tyler as a Dr. Will. That is exactly what Dr. Will was doing in All Stars. So
yeah,
I can sort of see why Kevin thinks this, but yeah. Anyway, David goes and talks with Enzo. They talk about Ovi and Hannah for a little while. David compliments Hannah's running of Ovi's social media. They both talk about how they want to keep Bailey in the game. Enzo doesn't have much hope that it can happen, but they talk through some options. Day talks to Tyler, and she says, what's going on, Tyler? Why didn't this happen? And he says, Christmas told me that she wasn't going to do it because it wasn't good for her game. And he lets her know that she has his vote to stay. And she's like, what? And he says, yeah, Bay told me that's what she wanted. And she's like, oh, my God. And he says, I'm looking at this like it's a reset. My head is going to be back in the game, and I want to have your back, Day. Day brings this to Bay and Kevin, and she says, okay, I had to hold myself back on this one because Tyler told me that he's voting you out, Bailey, and that now he can finally reset and play. And Bailey took this to mean, I knew it. He's been wanting me out this whole time. And now that I'm gone, now that he's getting me out, now he can actually play the game. He can't play the game while I'm in the house here with him. This has all been one big ploy from Tyler. That he's been trying to get me out, and he's been trying to set me up. He's scared that I'm going to flip the votes in the jury. And you know why? Because I did.
I am.
Because yes. I did yes. Last time. I cost him
$450,000. Like, I'm the reason that he lost the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I cost him $450,000, and little Miss Angela had to sell her Range Rover.
Yes.
And she tells Kevin and Devon, you two better work overtime to make sure he doesn't win this game, because you two are making it in the jury. So that is where they stand with Tyler at the moment.
Yeah, I had to do something for work, so I had to jump off the feeds for the beginning of this conversation, and then I came back and like tried to find it and couldn't for some reason. I don't know. The All Access was messing up, but I did catch the end of this, and it seemed to me like this was the moment when Devon realized that she was gonna have the, this is before the before last night, mm-hmm. when she realized that she had the votes to stay, mm-hmm. because all week she's been kind of like on the fence of whether she had them or not. But I think this is when she realized that she had the votes, because the only votes that she kind of really needed were Tyler's and then maybe one of the boys, Cody or Memphis. Mm-hmm. And I think she realized that now I have Tyler's vote. So I have Tyler. I probably have Danny. I have Kevin. I can maybe, if Bailey tells David to vote for me, I'll have him. But if not, then I don't have David and I have Enzo. But she doesn't have Enzo, but she thought she had Enzo. So I think at this point, she thought that she had the votes. And you could see, I don't want to say her demeanor changed throughout the rest of the day, but she did stop. Her fighting went down a little. Her dial for strategy and gameplay went down a little bit.
Yes, but you can tell that she also is now like extra upset about a for Bailey, because right. Again, they are now under the full impression that not only has Tyler been planning Bailey's eviction for weeks and that everything he said to them was a setup and a lie, but that also that maybe in fact this, you know, quit thing was also a setup and a lie. Mm-hmm. And now he's talking about resetting now that Bailey's not in the game, which isn't what he was actually saying, but it was taken to mean that. And so Devon is really feeling, I think, protective of Bailey in this situation, because she feels like she's really been done wrong. And that is, I think, important to know leading up to what happens later in the night. But before we get there, Cody, Enzo, and Tyler talk in the HOH room, triple threat meeting. Cody, while all of this is happening, Cody still has a full, clear view of the entire board. That he says that we need to continue to target the people not in our alliance. So I see Kevin's getting closer to Day. I see Ian is getting pulled in by Nicole. We don't want that. David is drifting toward them as well. Those are the people we need to watch out for. Ian in particular, I want him gone, because I don't want him to be able to, you know, like, as the numbers dwindle, I don't need Nicole having an Ian in the game to help him out, to help her out. So he's really looking at Ian and some of these other members players in the house that aren't in his power structure. He says, and I really feel like there's going to be four women left after this week. I think they're going to try and team up if they haven't already. This is Cody essentially saying something as speculation, but he already knows it. Yep. Danny told him about this, but he's saying, I think it's going to happen, guys. And Tyler, who has also been told about this by Christmas, is like, yeah, I think you're right. I think it's going to happen. So it's two people who know real information who are both speculating to each other about the real information. And Enzo's just like, hey, I'm flipping the whole house, yo. I don't even care. If I win it, yo, that's it. That's it. And Cody says, you can do what you want if you win HOH. Enzo, I believe, is still gunning for Danny and Nicole, mm-hmm. just like Tyler. Mm-hmm. And Cody is trying to get them off of it, and he still has not been able to. So we're still in that spot.
Yeah, so this is the thing about Cody right now, is that I don't understand why he's not letting them. I can understand if maybe if they won the power and they were serious about like they told him, I'm going to put up Danny and Nicole. That's one thing, but they haven't won the power yet. So like, why are you showing them that you don't want Danny and Nicole up, Nicole specifically? Like, you like, don't play those cards too early. And I feel like he's sitting in such a good position that if he does that one too many times, or he does it in front of the wrong person, that he's going to screw himself and all of his whole game is just going to fall over. Like, well, I understand, you know, it's better to be safe than sorry and rather to try to squash it now. But the with how fast this game changes, something might change by the time they do win the power to want to put them up. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I think Cody is doing the right thing. I think that you should be trying to squash this. People often wait too long, and then there's nothing that they can do about it. He's trying to squash it before it becomes even more obvious that he's trying to block it, right? Because if Enzo wins in HOH next week and he says, Cody, I want it to be Danny and Nicole, then Cody's gonna, like, Cody having to be like, what about something different? It looks even worse than him, because what he's trying to do is he's trying to set the game plan for them and say, this is what makes the most sense for us. It's targeting these other people. This is why it makes sense. If we do this, we're in a good spot. And he's able to bring it up without it being as obvious. The problem is that, you know, Tyler pushed him into this corner last week and Enzo already sees it. And so he's doing his best, I think, but his best isn't enough to convince Enzo and Tyler. And so Enzo in particular is like, he can say anything he wants. Right. I'm cutting his pieces away because just like he doesn't want Ian to support Nicole, I don't want Nicole and Danny to support Cody. Right. So
yeah, sorry, bro. Yeah, I could definitely see it like that. I don't know. I'm just afraid that the place where he's positioned himself, that if any of his cards fall out of his hand, he's done. Because you could ask all of them who they would put up next week, and none of them are going to put Cody up, at least not as an initial nom. Maybe as a backdoor.
Well, but I think David would, to be honest. And I think Kevin would. Maybe. But they would probably try to backdoor him. But
yeah, yeah. So I feel like I'm just afraid that if he like lets the wrong thing slip at the wrong time, that he could screw himself. I'm still not a Cody fan, like I wasn't last time I was on the podcast, but whatever.
all right. Well, Memphis and Tyler have a brief conversation. Memphis is saying that he's going after David because David is going after him. Tyler, he can be good in moments. He's trying to very subtly push this away from David. He brings up Ian and Kevin, but Tyler is not good enough to budge Memphis, who is a stone. Memphis is set on David and he is not biting any of Tyler's bait here. So Memphis is gunning for David, even though David is no longer gunning for Memphis. Memphis doesn't know that. Christmas and Day have a conversation. Day is asking Christmas, why didn't you make the move on Tyler? Christmas says, it was not good for my game and it's not my responsibility to take Tyler out. Day says, I don't understand, because it was like a perfect gift being given to you. And Christmas says, no, it wasn't. It was a gift being given to Bay. It was a burden being given to me, being placed in my lap. It's not my responsibility to take out Tyler for Bailey. And Day's like, it's not for Bailey. It's for Tyler. He's the one that asked. And she's like, okay, fine. For Tyler. Okay. I don't care what he wants. If he wants to leave, he can leave. It's not my responsibility. It's right. I shouldn't have to make it happen on my HOH. And Devon says, I don't know. Like, why wouldn't you want to take this opportunity to work with us? And Chris says, I couldn't trust that Bay wouldn't continue to be upset with me afterward. And Day's like, what do you mean? Why? She's like, she's been upset with me all week. And Day's like, well, yeah, because you put her on the block. She's right. Like, well, yes, exactly. And now that I've put her on the block, I can't take the risk that she's not going to come after me if she stays. You're the one that told me that you were having to hold her back. You told me that she was upset with me and that you were trying to calm her down. And Day's like, well, she has a right to be upset. You betrayed her. And Chris is like, well, that's fair. Her feelings are valid, but it was just game. It was just game. Cause Christmas tried to hug, Bailey and be like, hey, it's been awkward. And Bailey was like,
I'm good.
Yeah, not now.
Yeah.
Later. Not now. So Christmas is very aware that like, she's like, I mean, her reaction after the veto ceremony confirms to me that she would not have wanted to work with me after, even if I had done it. Devon's like, she's just upset. She has a right to be upset. And Chris is like, she does have a right to be upset. That's her truth. But for me, it was just game. And Day says, no, you told her, or you exposed personal information. She told you personal information in the game that you used against her and exposed. And Christmas says, no. It was game information. She told me that you were her untouchable. Oh, that was game information. She shouldn't have told me that. And Day says, you tricked her into revealing that information. And Christmas says, no, I didn't trick her into doing anything. She approached me. I didn't ask for any of this. She was asking me who my untouchable was. I didn't ask for it. And Day says, well, no, you took her personal information and you exposed it. And she says, no, we had lots of personal conversations, but I never exposed any of those personal conversations because that's personal. What she told me was game related, that you were her untouchable in the game, and that's what I exposed because it's game. And she doesn't understand how to separate personal and game. And Day says, no, it was personal game information. And Christmas says, there's no such thing as personal game information. What does that even mean? And Day says it was personal game information. And Christmas says it was game information. There's no such thing as personal game information. Day says personal game information. There's no such thing as personal game information. It was personal game information. What are you talking about?
It was this big circle back and forth of them saying there's no such thing. Yes, there is. There's no such thing. Yes, there is. There's no such thing. Yes,
personal
there is.
Game no information. Personal game information.
Oh, gosh. We knew that something was going to happen tonight. The way that Devon and Christmas both were like, it's funny because they both are in the love room earlier in the day talking about, BB, please bring us the alcohol. Bring us whatever you want. It could be the cheapest shit in the world. Just give us alcohol. We need alcohol to get away from this. And then they get the alcohol and this happened.
So this blows up. There's some great shots from this, by the way, just visually. Bay walks into the kitchen and she starts hearing personal game information. And she literally like goes,
it's so great. Funny. Her reaction is hilarious. I had to go back. I watched this argument like three times from three different angles. And I kept going back and like clicking on the different cameras. And it was great to see just the progression of this. It was super, super, super intense. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is, I don't know if I'm in the popular opinion here or if I'm in the minority, but I do agree that there is a difference between game information, personal information, and personal game information. Do I feel like Day explained it the best way she could? No. But I do feel like there's a difference. And her example was a good example. If we have if Taryn, you and I are in the Big Brother house, we have, you know, a personal, you know, relationship, and I talk to you about my roommates and my family, that's personal, right? If I win the power of veto and I ask your opinion, we're not necessarily aligned. I just ask your opinion. What do you think I should do? That's game. But when we are aligned or we have a deep, close connection, we sleep in the bed next to each other. We talk every day. We discuss what's going on in the house. We've built a personal game situation. So when I come and ask and tell you who my number one is, who my untouchable is, even though I should tell you that you're my untouchable because that's how you play Big Brother. I tell you who my untouchable is. I expect that to stay between us because we have a personal relationship and I gave you some game information. Personal game information.
I'm just like, I'm being brought back to the prisoner. Like, we want information. like, I'm not a number. I'm a man. All right. But yes, I'm actually like, I think the root of this issue here is that Bailey had a personal relationship with Christmas that mm-hmm. she thought transferred to a game relationship with Christmas. Mm-hmm. Christmas had a personal relationship with Bailey that she felt did not translate to a game relationship. Because of Bailey's personal relationship with Christmas, she told her game information. Christmas felt like, oh, that was a mistake. We have a personal relationship, but not a game relationship. And so you shouldn't be telling me game information, and now I'm going to use it against you. And Bailey felt like, well, you lured me in with a personal relationship so that I told you game information, and that's personal game information. And then you used that to betray me. So, like, in terms of the actual arguments being made, I think they both have valid points, but for as much as Christmas is saying, I understand and accept Bailey's feelings, she's doing so in a condescending way, in a way of like, she can have her feelings, but she's wrong. She can feel betrayed, but I did not betray her. And That's not really it's not really a solid point to stand on, right? If somebody feels betrayed by you, then they feel betrayed by you, and you can say that I didn't mean to betray you, but that is what it is. And again, I think there's valid points on both sides, but the fundamental here is that Devon is saying she feels betrayed by you. And Christmas is saying, I didn't betray her.
Yeah, which, you kind of did.
Yeah. And Christmas is getting very heated about this. She's getting very loud. And she is, saying personal game information. And so Devon walks away because she doesn't want to she doesn't want this. She doesn't want to do this. And Bailey, who I said, as I mentioned, noticed, walks in and she starts talking to Christmas like, what is going on here? And Christmas is like, did I tell you personal? Did I expose any personal information? Bailey's like, whoa, like, hey, I was not a part of that conversation. You don't need to be hot with me. And she's like, Christmas, like, okay, I gotta bring myself down. Give me a second. I just gotta bring myself down. But did I tell you personal information? Like, she is not.
Yeah, she's not. She doesn't bring it down. And that's where the issues come in, because if the role was swapped and Devon and Christmas were in that situation, and Christmas comes out of the, and Bailey is the one that put them up, and Christmas comes out of the bathroom or out of the DR and walks into the bathroom to have this conversation, And Bailey is sitting on the couch and Christmas is telling her, I didn't come at you crazy. I didn't come at you like loud, like you don't have to be hot with me. And Bailey is still going off and go crazy. Then Bailey looks like a psychopath, because just because of what Bailey looks like, because of the color of Bailey's skin and how she's seen as a human being playing the Big Brother game. And that is where I got super mad and super upset, because like, people want to gloss over it, but if you follow me on Twitter, you know I will not. Like, there are some things that happen in these social strategic games when it comes to casting, when it comes to people grouping together, ganging up on each other,
and treating people a certain way or expecting people to act a certain way, like people, like she feels like she has to, she can't do certain things that other people can do. And the fact that after the fight, people were coming up to Devon and Bailey and saying, you handled yourself so well. Like you did a good job. You didn't go off. You didn't go crazy. Like, I'm very proud of you. Like, you don't go say that to two white girls after they argue. Like, you, because you just don't, because you're not expecting them to argue. So they just had a fight. We're going to come over here and calm down, girl. You're fine. You know what I'm saying? And it's just frustrating that that's a struggle that people of color have to go through when they're playing these games.
Yes. So Bailey and Christmas are, Christmas, as I was saying, is very escalated. And Christmas is trying to explain that, that Bay is not separating game from personal. And again, it's like, I think this is where Christmas really goes wrong in terms of her argument, in the sense that, like, okay, Christmas separates game from personal, but that doesn't mean that everyone else has to. That doesn't mean that that's the correct thing to do. So you aren't in the right to say, oh, you're not separating game from personal, and that is the standard. And Christmas is trying to explain this, and Bailey says, well, that's not true. I don't separate game from personal, but Christmas was not finished. And she says, hold on, let me finish. And Bay's like, oh, don't play the victim here. You used me. And Christmas says, I didn't use you. You told me information. And Christmas walks away. Bailey follows. Christmas turns around, puts her hands in Bailey's face, does some clapping, does some pointing. Bailey says, don't do that. Christmas says, don't you make me out to look like that. And that's essentially where we leave off. Christmas goes off to the table. Bailey goes outside with Devon. They start talking about the situation. Devon is very upset that it escalated to that this is not what she wanted. That she feels like she's been set up. They got what they wanted. I exploded. And now it's going to look a certain way. And Cody and Tyler and Enzo are in the backyard, playing pool. And they're like, it will not look that way. Everyone saw what, like, every people will be able to see what just happened. That Christmas was very obviously in the wrong here. And while this is happening, Christmas is complaining to Kevin, who was stuck in the kitchen with her.
Kevin, like, looked so awkward.
Very clearly not on Christmas's side, but like he's the only one that she can get to talk to her because he's stuck there with her. And so she's venting to him and he's like, it's like this guy. And you can see Tyler, like, because Christmas gets loud with Kevin because she's being loud about Day and Bay. And Kevin is like just trying to, like, keep her, you know, from blowing up on him. And so Tyler, like, peeks his head in because he hears Christmas being loud. And then he's like, man, no, I don't want anything to do with Christmas. This is all blowing up. Christmas is still, you know, like, yelling to Kevin and the world. And Day and Bay are trying to comfort each other. David talks to Bay. They walk by Christmas and there's another, like, thing that happens and they yell, and Day goes to the diary room and Bailey is talking about how this isn't fair. Cody ends up going by and talking to Danny and Nicole and letting them know what happened. And he is talking about how out of line Christmas is and how unfair the situation is to Day and Bay. What we see, luckily, I think, is that basically the entire house is like, This is on Christmas. The entire house supports Day and Bay in this, that they were not in the wrong, and that it is not fair for them to be in a situation where Christmas is trying to make it seem like she's the victim. Christmas is saying things like, oh, how dare they make it seem like I'm the one doing this? Like she feels victimized. She feels like she's being made out to be something that she's not, because they're trying to make it out like she is trying to rile them up on purpose and being a racist and being a bully. And so she's very upset about that. And basically the entire house agrees with Day and Bay in the situation. And there's a lot of talk of there's been a lot of talk, especially from Danny, about Day and Bay blowing up, right? And Christmas. Yeah. Cody has always been a person that has said, I feel like Christmas is going to blow up on someone.
Yes.
And Cody in this moment is like, I knew it. This is Christmas. This is the Christmas I expected. This is the Christmas that I was waiting for.
Yeah. I was letting you talk for a little while so that I could.
I know we got it. We were like an hour and a half in. So I needed to rest
my nerves. I want to make it very, very clear that my stance on this whole situation is not about Devon and Bailey being black. My stance is that I'm over it. This is like the 500th season in a row where this kind of thing has happened. And it's these people, no one in that, I do not in my heart believe that anyone in that house is racist or bias or anything like that. Do I feel like sometimes because of how you look, you don't realize your underlying bias against other people? Yes. I'm not saying that Day and Bay are on the block because they're black. I'm saying that they may have been put on the block because they are a pair that makes them a target that looks different than the other pairs that are in the house that aren't like the person that is making the HOH decision. You're not with my group. My group was made and we all look alike. We all think alike. We all feel alike. You don't fit into that mold. So I'm going to target you. I'm going to say that. I'm going to leave it at that. Now, I did enjoy after the barbecue, Enzo, Cody, and I think Memphis were outside and they were having a conversation about what happens next. Like, okay, once this week is over, like, what is the next step we take? And I like something that Enzo did here, which is where he let Cody and Memphis know that I have you guys back. I'm not coming after you, but I'm putting my foot in this house's ass if I win HOH. And it really showed Cody and Memphis that, okay, he's not coming after us and we can use him to go after the other side. And I think a lot of people in this house are questionable about Enzo the same way they're questionable about Kevin, about what will he do, where will he go. And I think slowly but surely, Enzo is starting to let people know what he's going to do. And he's always telling them what's going to be best for their game. For instance, he told Devon when he was talking to her in the bathroom that he would go after Cody and Memphis and Danny and Nicole. That's probably going to be best for, not the Nicole part, but that'll be best for Devon. When he was talking with Kevin in the love room, he mentioned he wanted to go after the Alliance, the Christmases of the world, the Codys of the world. He's telling people what they need to hear in order to make sure that if he doesn't win this next HOH, that he is safe, which I thought was really admirable.
Yes. Well, speaking of Enzo, Day, Bay, and Kevin have a conversation late into the night where they were talking about Enzo and how they feel like he is the person that they can trust to work with moving forward. So they want to approach Enzo about trying to work with him and to make something with him. So Enzo is the person that the outsiders feel like they can work with the most, which is unfortunately, again, not the greatest read. Now, Enzo is, I think, actually willing to take a shot at Danny and Nicole, which is good for them. But what they don't realize is that he's actually one of the most insulated, if not the most insulated person in the house. Right. So it's still, I think, beneficial for them to link up with him. But it really just, you know, gives more cards to the person already holding a lot of cards.
Yeah, I feel like Enzo has positioned himself to where he won't need, like, have to fight for a position of power for another couple of weeks.
Yeah. So that's basically what we've got from yesterday. What we're looking at here still is that Bailey is the target. Bailey will likely be going home at the end of the week, and we will be moving forward into next week with all kinds of new dynamics in the house, with some different targets running around. So that's what we got. JT, anything else that you wanted to bring up?
No, I think we pretty much covered everything. We got really deep into what I was afraid I was going to get really deep into. Yeah, I just, like I said, I just feel like there's dynamics of this game that people don't think about. Like, they only think about the game, and it's a social strategic game, not just a strategic game. And there's social things that take place regarding minorities and disabilities and things like that. So yeah, that's all. I think that it was an interesting day. I think that it set a precedent for it. Really, I kind of feel bad for the house guests though, because like they have to live with this beef in the air for 48 hours before the veto. I mean, before eviction. So it kind of sucks for them, but I do feel like between now and Thursday, I don't think much is going to change in regards to the vote. Enzo and David put in whatever work that they could to try to get it to flip. And I don't think it worked. And so I do agree, like, Bailey is probably going to be going home, but she's going to be able to relax and be with her man that has literally been up Twitter's ass waiting for her to come home. So she will be home and Devon will still be there. And I think that Devon has realized that she's going to stay. And so she's going to hopefully use this next 48 hours to really place herself in a position to where she doesn't end right back up on the block on Friday.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's what we have for you today. It was a long day. It was a big day. But we are heading into today here with everything that is going to happen from yesterday. So we're going to be back live tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern for the Stockwatch Roundtable. We're going to rate these players. I expect a big crash in the market tonight. So that should be pretty interesting. If you are interested in rating the players, I'm going to tweet out a survey after this podcast. I'll pin it to the top of my Twitter at Armstrong Taren. You can go rate the players from 1 to 10 based on how they're doing in the game. And there's some other extra questions as well, if you're interested. Bonus questions. Fill that out. Tune in tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern and we'll talk about it all. I'll of course be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. And you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong, if you want to chat with me there when I go live. JT, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JTDoesNYC. Just talking about Big Brother and some trashy reality TV and subscription boxes. And that's pretty much, that's all of it.
There it is.
Yeah, it's my whole Twitter. All
right. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. I'll see you next time.
Later, guys.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.